We are KOWS Occidental, 92.5 FM, streaming on the web at kowsfm.com.
So, welcome to my show. My name is Bernie Steffen, and the name of the show is Ecologic. This is my fifth episode, and today I'm flying solo for the first time. No guests, no mentors, but I'm going to count on you, the audience. I really would like it participatory, but if you don't, you can just listen to me. But I have something I want to talk about that I'm calling Joy Without Denial. It's clear to me that most of the world feels especially heavy right now, depending on what perspective you have and what your priorities are and how you're looking at it. But I see very few people that are thinking, well, that's going well. You know, our politics, I'll call it harsh to be on the good side. You could call it dysfunctional. It's really not serving us to find consensus or to help figure out what a good path forward is. Our economics, it's a very scary time for many, many people. Maybe there are a few people that are not concerned about that, but I'd say many people have a right to be concerned right now. And the wars, they're spreading. They're international. They're looking for greater polarization than ever. And it's still about going after resources. But at the same time, outside this studio, the trees are budding. I see cherry trees, apple trees. I see a lot of shrubs that are giving us their glory. The poppies are coming out. The mustard yellow is still happening. And when we look at trees that look bare, they're all budding right now, and you see them coming out. So that's wonderful. Birds are starting to mate and nest. And, you know, they give us sounds outside that are beautiful. And then the soil is warming. And so there's life activities that we don't see below the surface, but we know that the soil is alive. The question I'm asking today is, can we hold both truths at the same time? I find it's difficult, but I believe it can. Because the unraveling is certainly happening, and I'll talk a little bit about that. More, these are political systems that we have that are becoming authoritarian, and that drift in that direction and the polarization within the nation and states given colors, etc. That's not new, but there's an unraveling happening from my perspective. With our economics systems, the debt is piling on. Governments all over with our fiat currency are issuing more and more money, spending more and more money, and it's borrowing from the future. And a lot of the politics is really illusional. You know, it's the fiat money that we just have to believe in, because I remember when I was younger as a kid, I would hear, well, that's backed by the full faith and credit of the United States of America. And what could be more secure than that? Well, I don't hear that being said anymore. I think I know why. So we need to acknowledge that our systems are failing. They're unraveling. The wars are expanding. You know, we are polarizing, but we're still colonizing, and we're still being in search of resources and taking resources that we need and want to fuel our economies at home. And so nations, as these sovereign entities are called, they feel the need to ensure that they're not going to suffer whatever consequences happen to the other countries or the rest of the planet. And so the wars are a way of the resistance and the insurance that we can continue with the way of living that we have. And it really is identifying these days what is the main resource that fuels everything in our industrial society. Well, it's fossil fuels, of course. Natural gas, oil, coal, then we go into nuclear. But we have this huge appetite. And as we're seeing in the Persian Gulf, we're hearing that it supplies 20% of the world's oil usage. It doesn't sound that we could overcome it, but the reserves that countries are holding and releasing doesn't come close to that level of oil shipping that goes to the world that then gets consumed for the energy that we're still demanding. So that is part of what I'm calling an unraveling of our industrial civilizations. Then, of course, the ecosystems are collapsing worldwide. I mean, we talk about what we're needing for food, but we're not recognizing that it's for human food, and many times it's industrial food, and it's really not nurturing us, but it is keeping a huge population alive and staying large. And that these ecosystems that have been supporting all species and all humans for the longest time, hundreds or many tens of millions of years. And so we humans have really only been in this industrial world for about, 200 years, maybe more. And that industrial world now has oil, such a large integral part of our food system, our industrial food system. Now, some people have gotten off of it, and people are feeling they're a lot healthier when they get away from the industrial system. But the industrial system is controlling so much. It's very hard to survive in this modern society without getting your food at some grocery store. So what has all that resulted with? Well, many, many people feel that their voice no longer matters. It's called a loss of agency. And if we had some before, it's being diminished. And it's harder and harder to hold on to the idea that we as individuals can change this, to boycott it, to protest it, to stop it, to make it better. That loss of agency is real. And even though it may feel that our voices don't matter, I say they do. And maybe we're not able to find them and use them in the right ways. But I honestly believe that this is a moment now where we must find our voices. We must not be letting the heaviness of how the world is unraveling make us feel like we just go hide somewhere and try to live it out. I think it's time to hear voices. So with that, write down this number if you don't already know it, 707-755-9250. That's 707-755-9250. That's the one line we have here coming into the studio, and I need your help. I would like you to answer some of these questions that I'm raising. What are you noticing in nature right now? Both the good and the bad, or both, or one? What keeps you grounded in these uncertain times? Tell us what keeps you from sleeping at night. Well, with that, let's hear from our sponsors.
We thank Mac Daddy Repairs for their ongoing support. They're a West County computer and phone repair center with on-site and remote support. Located at 301 North Main Street in Sebastopol, they can be reached by email at support@macdaddyrepairs.com or by phone at 707-861-9403.
Cows thanks North Coast Solar for their ongoing support. They have been supplying residential and commercial businesses with solar power since 1984. Their website, ncsr.com, contains information about how to improve energy reliability. They can be reached at area code 707-575-3999. North Coast Solar is proud to sponsor Uncle Charlie's Jukebox here on Cows every Wednesday at 4 p.m. Pacific.
So we're back here. This is Bernie Steffen with Ecologic, and today we're talking about joy without denial. Now, that's a complex idea, but let me go through what I see, and I do want to hear what you see. I see how the living world is still amazingly astonishing. We're heading into spring in our area. You know, the spring signs of life have all begun already. In the middle of winter, they come out. And, you know, the trees have been budding and trees are blooming right now. And the plants are all taking in the more sun, coming into maturity, coming back to a state of hibernation, essentially. I mentioned the birds are nesting. Maybe you're a bird watcher and would like to comment on some of the birds that you're hearing right now. And the gardeners, you know that the soil is waking up. You know that when things get too much, watching TV or listening to the radio or even listening to social media talk about what's happening in the world, in the nation's capital, in all of these faraway places. When you get down on your knees and you put your hands in the soil and you start pulling weeds or you start planting new plants, that fosters an emergence. You've got to, everyone who does that, in my opinion, is taking part in what is a part of spring, which we can call emergence. Because spring, the process of renewal, it doesn't ask for permission. It just emerges. The world is not only collapsing, which we talked about it, but it's still creating. Life keeps emerging. And I think so do we. And so can we. And so must we. I have another part here I want to talk about, and that is the fact that we tend to have two reactions that are real, genuine, and one is denial. It's a survival technique that we must have, and it takes many forms. When I want to talk about some of these problems that are systemic and what they're doing to the environment, I get a lot of, well, the technology will fix this. We're starting to make progress. Did you know that such and such has gotten better at not being so unsustainable or so damaging. So we're doing less damage all the time. So we can fix this. We have human ingenuity. We are super smart. And all we have to do is make sure everybody gets a good education and the system will take care of us. Well, some people are not of that mind, but they believe the markets will solve this. And in some ways, they're correct right now. When the price of gas goes up, I have two thoughts. One is, oh, damn, it's going to cost more to drive the car, and I, like everyone else, is going to have to pay more for our mobility or super mobility. And there's another part of me says, good, let it get to $20, $100 a gallon. That will be kind of a market solving the problem. But of course, the politics won't let that market force go that far. It'll find ways to keep itself going. And the industry, the industrial world, is not going to give up. It's not going to say, we're going to stop the damage we do or admit to the damage we're doing. But, you know, we want to say it's not so much of a problem. Markets can solve it. And a lot of people say this to me. It's not going to be a problem in my lifetime. Why should I worry about it? I mean, that's for future generations to deal with. I can't deal with that right now. It's too complex. It's too complicated. Nothing I can do. Those are all forms of denial. Denial is a human trait that is instinctive, and it's self-protection. And I think what it's about is protecting our thought system. And we want to hold on to that thought system because that allows us to function in this world. There's another aspect of this kind of reaction to what the was happening, both the living world and the built world, the political, economic, etc. world, and that is despair. Some people are just watching TV nonstop. They have a news paralysis. I fall into that very often, and it's hard to get away from wondering what's happening today. But the truth is, it's not what the details of every day are. It's like we're avoiding despair, or we're despairing at watching a soap opera unfold. And we also will do this on our phones or iPads or whatever, the doom scrolling. We just keep scrolling and scrolling, or we're playing a video game, or we're escaping having to deal with it. That's a form of despair showing itself. We have an emotional shutdown. We no longer can function to really have the full range of emotions that are part of life, because denial and despair, they keep us from something. Denial disconnects us from the truth. So we can't really deal with the truth when we're in denial. And despair disconnects us from life, from living. And these are not trivial emotions, and they're understandable. So I think that we're not able yet to get out of this trap that we're in, where we go into denial, we go into despair, and then that keeps us from experiencing joy. Well, what do you do about despair, denial? You grieve. We are not good at grieving, or we don't value the grieving as an emotion to deal with loss. It's real. We must grieve in order to face the truth that denial keeps us from. Grief is the only answer that I know of. Because if we grieve deeply in meditation or however we do it, I sometimes cry about it. I mean, this is very strong for me, and I will be thinking about it at night, and I've got to let myself see it as just acknowledging reality, grieving about it, and not trying to fix it, which is my nature, but that's not going to help. I'm going to have to grieve, as I have been doing, but there's a grief process, and it isn't dismissed very easily. And if we're in despair, we need that too. We need the form of grief that takes away some of the despair and reconnects us to life. Anyway, I've been talking for a bit, and you know what I'm talking about today. So no one has called in yet, and I would like to see that happening. So please join me in this discussion. I think it's important. If you think it's important and you want to contribute, if you see nature's changes right now, if you see all the economic and political changes upsetting you, how do you stay grounded? What are your thoughts about the future? Please call 707-755-9250. Let's hear a little bit more from our sponsors.
Cows is underwritten in part by Minnie Rivers Books and Tea. Minnie Rivers specializes in tools for spiritual practice, tea and teaware. They are located at 130 South Main Street, Suite 101 in Sebastopol, and they can be found online at minnieriversbooks.com. They can also be reached by phone at 707-829-8871.
Cows thanks Molesbury's Market for their underwriting support. Established in 1959, they are a family-owned grocer located on Old Redwood Highway in the Larkfield Center. Their website is molesburymarket.com. Molesbury's Market tunes into the Roots of Rock every Sunday morning at 7 on Cows Community Radio.
So this is Bernie Steffen on Ecologic. Today, our topic is joy without denial. And I've been talking about the idea that can we hold two truths? That civilization is indeed damaging the planet's biosphere. That we all are contributing to that. Now, that's a part many people don't want to deal with. But the rates of extinctions are at all-time highs. The loss of habitat keeps happening. The poisoning keeps happening. The atmosphere, the climate, we can see how unreasonably warm it is here right now, which we're enjoying. So this is one of these times where I think we can enjoy the warmth and the early coming of spring and us able to do all those activities that often the cold keeps us indoors on. And we can have that joy, but we don't have to deny that it's climate change that's causing it. And I worry about what's going to happen this July and August and September when we're in summer. And we have often had 100-degree plus weather. Will it reach new highs? More than likely. So let's not deny that, but enjoy how the weather changes help us and affect us in certain ways. Our Earth, though, it has these changes and it adapts to them. I mean, that's what it's been doing since its inception. Earth has been evolving. I mean, the oceans are examples of what diversity is held in terms of life in our oceans, the coral reefs, the smallest of single cell creatures, and then the food chains with the marine mammals that we so love to feel an identity with and watch and go after. And, you know, we can have both an understanding that with our oceans, there's an incredible variety there. And we love to interact with that life that's there. But at the same time, we should be acknowledging that that plastic in the ocean that many of those fish are getting is killing them off. Those species are disappearing. The climate change CO2 in the atmosphere is getting pulled into the oceans and they're getting more acidic. And so shellfish, we love our oysters, we love our clams, but science is showing that those shells are not as hard as they once were, and they were not evolved for more acidic oceans. And the overfishing that we humans do through an industrial form of fishing, I'm not talking about humans that throw a net and get fish and then feed a village with that. And I'm pleased to see that the phone is ringing, so let me answer. Hi, you're on the air. This is Bernie. How are you? Who's calling? Oh, wait a minute. Now I got the fader up. Who's calling, please?
My name is Jeff. Hi, Bernie.
Hi, Jeff. I know you. I really
know you too.
I really thank you for listening and for calling in.
Well,
sometimes I don't know if anybody's
so
listening at all.
And the effort that you're putting into it, and I didn't want to leave you hanging, having to do a monologue the whole show, so I thought I'd call and give you some of my perspectives.
Well, I appreciate that because you've heard some of my monologue before, right? Well, and I've enjoyed hearing your philosophy, and I'm trying to bring it in to make my life more manageable. So,
well,
I think you have a lot to offer. Let's hear what you think about this subject.
Well, I have a lot of thoughts about it, of course.
We have time, Jeff. Take your
yes.
time.
Yes. but first I wanted to comment. I'll get on to how to find joy and so forth, but I did want to comment on something that you said about you seem to tie the rise of industrial society with the lack of agency, that we all feel a lack of agency today. And am I correct in hearing that?
I think, I believe when I was young, I think people felt they had more of a say in how things went than now. So over time, I think we've lost it. That's what I'm saying. And I do blame the industrial global civilization for that.
Well, being younger, maybe that accounts for feeling like we had more of a say.
Yeah.
But
I was idealistic,
in terms of,
yes.
History, you know, historians and economists would argue the opposite, because in pre-industrial societies, people had very little agency in terms of being able to choose their occupation or to move geographically or to control their reproduction, to access education. So with the rise of industrial society, we're less boxed in by, I mean, to of course, it's always a mixed bag. You know, education is regimented, and we have limited choices in some things, but in terms of being able to if a person believes that they have free will, then you could say that having that free will, you know, if you don't like your job, you can try and get another one or start your own business. You could move across the country. You could decide to go back to school and all these things that when there were kings and queens and rulers, free industrial society, you know, if you think about the serfs or indentured servants and all this, I don't think people had as much of a sense of agency as they do now.
You're absolutely right. I'm not going to argue with that at all. I mean, with the industrial civilization that I'm blaming for things gives us amazing comforts, mobility, choices. I mean, it really does. Yet, if we wanted to deal with what damage it's doing, we find that we're boxed in by it. So that's kind of the agency of being outside of the box of the way we live.
Well, I would certainly agree with you on that score.
Yeah, good.
You know, we don't, I mean, fortunately, if you have a certain economic status, you can at least buy theoretically healthier food that isn't grown in soil, that's completely depleted and riddled with pesticides and so forth. But that's limited to a very few people in our society. But moving on to more philosophical underpinnings of things.
Okay.
It's difficult to find joy in this society, especially with war and strife between, you know, disassociation between people breaking into their tribal teams of I'm right and you're wrong and so forth. So lately I've been trying to practice what I call radical acceptance.
Okay.
And it sort of ties in with that old serenity prayer that's common that originated with Alcoholics Anonymous.
Yeah. Lord, let me know the difference.
Actually.
What I can change and not change.
Yes.
Yes.
Grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. And I think in that phrase, in that sentence, you have everything you need, because there are so many things that we can't change as individuals. You know, we can change, we can't even change somebody's mind if they're on the other end of the political spectrum, not by facts, not by logic, not by anything. So
let's play with that a little bit, if I may. When I was coming of age and then going to college, it was the Vietnam War. And I didn't want to be drafted. I got political instincts for the first time, and I was there opposing the war. Some people were much more out front in that, like the Chicago Seven at the Democratic Convention or what have you.
Sure.
And then it got into our politics, and I felt I had some agency. It was limited. I mean, I could go against the establishment thinking by demonstrating. Today, I know that I can go out to a No Kings rally. I know that I can demonstrate at an ICE being in the neighborhood. But I feel like the likelihood of that demonstration not ending well for me and actually achieving something is less than what we had with the Vietnam War.
I don't know. If we had 500,000 people march on Washington, D.C., it might change something.
Well, haven't we had a lot of marches on D.C.? I remember the Pink Hats women.
Yeah.
You know, and I remember a lot of marches on D.C., but I don't know that today's legislators, that the government itself is functioning and the economic power has grown such that I think that, yes, we were able to get Jimmy Kimmel back on the air. So I acknowledge that. But I think that our ability to stop a war now is futile. Isn't it?
We'll see.
Okay.
We'll see, because, you know, economics, as the price of oil goes up and the price of gas goes up, all those people who were, you know, who was it? Clinton said it's the economy, stupid.
Yes. I know that our politics is about that.
Yes. So as that changes, you know, things may or may not change. But yeah. I don't want to get into politics so much today.
No, you're right. You're right.
It's too depressing.
Well, I feel
a distinct lack of agency around it.
Yeah, well, that was my point, I think. And you were saying that, yes, it's more agency than when there were real kings in charge and we had a feudal system and all that. I totally agree with that. But I think that it's not the economy that I'm worried about. In fact, I feel the other way around. For politicians talk about jobs, 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 and I think every job is another habitat lost. It's another population of some species
sure.
going extinct. So I don't hear economic good news as good news for what I view as a more foundational question of, are we as humans pushing ourselves faster and racing to the sixth mass extinction? Or can we actually start admitting what we're racing towards and maybe find ways to really slow it down, maybe even stop it, not in small ways by consumerism or holding a placard, but by having the system that enables that collapse. I know I'm getting really radical again, but that's my nature.
My view is that we're all dying. As soon as, you know, they say life is a sexually communicated fatal disease.
Well,
and we're all dying. We're all in the process of dying. People are, as soon as someone is born, they're in the process of dying. Of course, they go through the growth stages and so forth. But eventually, you get to be our age, and we don't have all that much time left. And what do we do with that? You know, some people are in complete denial. They want to take as many supplements and life-prolonging activities as they can. But
that's part of our culture, no doubt, no question.
That's right.
But so, in life, death is an integral part of life.
Absolutely.
Within nature, if there wasn't death, then you couldn't have another generation of life going forward. And
absolutely.
It's essential.
Absolutely. You know, life comes out of death, and death is a part of life. So it's a great circle.
Yeah,
and
so can we apply...
if there is another mass extinction, that's part of the cycle as well. And
it is, unfortunately, it is.
I mean,
all species are doomed to ultimately go extinct, but we don't have to hasten going there, do we? I mean, I care about future generations, not just of my children, but of our species and all the other species that we've co-evolved with, that we share this life with. I mean, it to me, yes, there will be, the Earth will find a way to maybe let the mammals in the sea die and maybe let the bigger fish die, maybe no more tuna, but maybe there are some new forms of, I don't know, amphibians that emerge that can survive the more acidic ocean, that don't mind eating plastic, that can handle the heat increases and, you know, don't need today's food chain, but can adapt to another food chain. So I do believe that all that is possible, and I can accept that I'm not going to affect it right now. And so I got to let go. So that means I got to grieve about that. And
yes.
What I'm understanding is that if I don't grieve about that, then I'm also denying myself the other part of that life. If we accept the death, we can really live the life and we can enjoy the world that is, because it's gorgeous. The rivers, the mountains, the scenery, the views, the sunsets, the sunrises, the moon, the sky, I mean, it's so incredible. And I tend to forget that when I'm wanting to do something to preserve it. And I have to grieve and realize that I don't have that much agency to preserve it. But at least I have the agency to speak out. And that's why I'm doing this show.
Yes, that's wonderful.
Well, you're also doing things to help us humans find a way, I think, to have both a understanding of what reality is and a grieving, but not letting us keep us from also enjoying the good parts of life. So is that a fair statement?
Well, it all comes down to how we treat other people, really. That's where we have our greatest agency is, you know, if we meet for coffee, if I am talking to the checkout clerk at Whole Foods or Safeway or Community Market, and I make a connection, I feel that I'm doing something to perhaps leave somebody better than when I found them. And that's my motto is to try and be the change I want to see. That's what I try and practice, because if I can't do it myself, how can I expect anybody else to? You know, I can't sit around and criticize everybody else and say, well, why couldn't they be nicer if I can't do it myself?
Well, I think it's a wise statement. I think it came from Gandhi. But when I hear it, I have a difficult time with it, because I feel like the change I want to see, I'm not able to exemplify. I'm no longer a young person who can learn to hunt and grow my own food and maybe live off the grid and provide my own shelter and live in a way that I know will do less damage and increase the survival of my family and help
we do what
community
we can.
That way.
We do what we can. That's the thing.
Well,
you are an elder.
Why can't I talk about that being a good thing without having to live that and feeling unskilled, unprepared for living that way of less impact, less footprint on the planet?
Well, if you want people to be more thoughtful, if you want to live in a kinder world, if you want to live in a more loving world, if you want to live in a world where division is less and cooperation is more, then we have that agency to act that way. So, for instance, if somebody is dead set in their tracks about the way things are and the way they see things, I've stopped trying to change their mind. Because most of the time it doesn't work. I'm trying to spend more time listening. Because when we listen to somebody, you know, maybe these are all becoming cliches, but when we listen to somebody and allow them the chance to feel being heard without interjecting our own philosophy or how they should change, and hey, if you could only see it this way.
Yes.
Not that I'm perfect at refraining from that. I still do it, but I see that the result generally is resistance.
Yes, and your effectiveness is better by virtue of how you're approaching it. There's no question about that.
So if we could create a society where we really listen more, instead of jumping in with our solution, maybe that sounds Pollyanna-ish, but what else can I do, really?
Well, let me ask you this. Let's imagine the electric grid goes down, and it goes down frequently.
Mm-hmm.
Would that enhance our skills and opportunity for doing what you were saying?
Well, possibly. You know, during World War II in Britain, the English really joined together and set aside their differences in many ways, and there was a lot more cooperation and appreciation of each other. I understand. I wasn't there, so
I understand. But it's fair. It's a good one when to examine what happened in wars in the past and what may happen in wars in the future.
Sure, and it's not only wars, in natural disasters also. Communities often come together and
absolutely.
Help each other.
Yes.
I mean, there are all kinds of programs. I was just reading about I can't remember exactly, but every Saturday and twice a month in Petaluma, there's an organization that organizes free food and clothing and even shelter for people in need. So that's an example of a community coming together to support others.
And last show we talked about how the seniors are in large numbers helping out at the Empire Food Bank.
Right.
Or with Catholic Charities. And so there is, I think, a revival maybe. At least I don't know, but I'm suspecting that more people are turning to wanting to help others because of their inability to stop the stuff that they don't like.
Well, I think that, the pessimistic drumbeat of the media has a lot to do with convincing people that we're all going to hell in a handbasket and no one's cooperating and no one's doing anything. But when you look at the community level, there are a lot of things happening.
Yeah, I agree exactly. Because let's call that the mainstream media, or it's sort of the industrial media that is tied to the industrial civilization. And it is big money. It is part of, it's ingrained in that whole system that if the power went out and stayed out forever, we would no longer have internet to distract us. We wouldn't have any of that news to consume. We wouldn't be attracted to their slick marketing ways. And we would have to resort to the people that we physically engage
yeah.
with. And that's local. That's local
yes.
community. And that's what I believe we need to get prepared for, making it stronger, because I think it's clear to me, and I'm trying to get people to understand that the unraveling of the civilization is not something we should try to prevent. We should go with it, because we can't stop it anyway. It's on a unsustainable basis to be running on all this fossil fuel, and if fossil fuel went up to $100 a gallon, it's not time to commit suicide or say, well, I've got an EV, I'm okay, because those electric rates are going to go up as well as the gas pump rates, and that along with the AI and all, it's really heading us to a point that we've recognized for many decades, some people have recognized for many decades, that the growth is the problem, because it can't be supported by a limited natural world that has been carrying the cost of fueling all of this stuff that we love and that defines us.
Well, I don't know if I would agree with hastening the collapse any more than I would agree with stop eating or exercising or sleeping to hasten my own demise, because it's coming anyway.
Yeah.
So, I think balance is what is needed. I don't want to hasten the collapse of the world, and I would like to enjoy it any more than I would like to hasten my own demise. So I'd like to enjoy it as much as I can. I'm sure you would too, and
yeah.
Enjoy your...
But I trade a few years of our generation so that future generations have a chance at all. I, for example, outlived my parents. Both of them died in their 50s. I'm now 78. I can't believe I even got to 60. And so I feel like Yes, I was helped by this industrial medicine because I developed colon cancer and they did surgery and I had to endure chemo. And then I have another cancer, the bone marrow, that I'm working with all the time. But somehow modern medicine has kept me alive from being somewhat like my parents and dying much earlier. And in some ways, I'm actually calling for the collapse of that longevity enhancing medicine that keeps us along liver, keeps us alive longer. I'm sorry. And, you know, that is not good for dealing with the fact that the planet is overpopulated by far compared to the resources available to it, especially if the rest of the world wants to live like we live, or the Europeans live, or the Australians live. I mean, we are living at a highly unsustainable rate that has doomed the industrial civilization. So when prices go up on the gas, let's look on the bright side.
Well, there certainly are. I mean, you could say that about anything.
Yeah, but I'm saying it about gas because fossil fuels really make almost everything else possible. They make the Amazon deliveries happen. They, you know, make the global shopping happen. And I feel like if I'm forced to walk more, that's a good thing. Or if I trade my car for a bicycle, that's a good thing. Trading my gas hybrid for a full electric, that's not a good thing for the future. That's really being in denial that all cars have an overwhelming cost to the environment. Many people don't know that because they haven't allowed themselves to hear it. But I'm driven by knowing it and knowing that there are reasons why people don't want to hear it. And I've struggled with people not wanting to hear what I have to say. And one thing I definitely like about you, Jeff, is you're able to hear what I have to say because I think you have a good foundation for yourself that is not affected by crazy ideas coming from other people.
Well, it's been a long road to get to get to that place. But I know you're coming up against the hour, and I just want to leave you again with that thought of radical acceptance, in the sense that doesn't mean just let life run over you or other people run over you, but to be able to change the things we can and accept the things we can't change, and then of course the wisdom to know the difference. That's where the real challenge lies. But I appreciate you, Bernie,
well,
and I appreciate
don't
your
hang
program.
Up yet. Don't hang up yet. I want to ask you, Jeff, is it okay to mention your last name?
Savage.
Yeah, Jeff Savage. And how do we know each other? How did we meet?
Through Toastmasters.
And in which particular
and improv.
Club? In Petaluma, right?
Toastmasters, I don't remember. It's Toast of Petaluma.
Yeah, our Petaluma Toastmasters branch is called Toast of Petaluma.
Yes.
We met there, and we both still go there. And you know who my guest is on the next show?
Who?
Renee Hawk, our president.
Wonderful.
She's also an area director, and she's busy coordinating annual speech contests and doing a lot of work. But she's agreed to come on the air, where I think that's another resource for local that is helpful to us.
Absolutely.
And
it's a wonderful organization that brings people together for more than... I'm glad Renee will be on there to maybe dispel what many people think Toastmasters might be, because it's something really great.
Well, I'm looking forward to it, and I'm so delighted. You help make this show easy and informative. You were not only telling me, but you were telling our listeners. And I think that's what I'm hoping for, is that our listeners are more tuning in and more engaged. And you demonstrated how good engagement on community radio can happen. So thank you, thank you, thank you, Jeff.
You're welcome, Bernie. Good.
All right.
Good show.
Take care. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
Well, I was very pleased to have that nice ending to the show. So when I reflect on what I prepared, I believe we need to face reality honestly. We need to grieve our losses, but still experience beauty. Earth is not only suffering these problems, it's also a miracle to experience. And if our civilization falters, the wind and the river still move, the birds will still migrate and mate, and life will continue in some form. So it's clear to me that we can hold both grief and joy, and I think we really must do both. So today, I'm wanting to thank our listeners and my one caller, Jeff Savage. And this has been the fifth episode of Ecologic, and I hope you will get accustomed to knowing it's here at 11 o'clock on Mondays, and that you'll tune in. And as Jeff did, start making it more of a community effort. So I mentioned that our next show, which is on March the 30th at 11 o'clock, as always, that's a Monday. These are the odd Mondays of the month. Our Toast of Petaluma president, Renee Hawk, will be here. And just a final reminder, you know, the world is still speaking to us. So enjoy.
Fashion said, hey babe, take a walk on the wild side. I said, hey honey, take a walk on the wild side. And the colored girls say, do 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 do. Tremors of your mind, in the spasms of your life, rolling in like thunder. Peace was in the day, and promises fell like summer rain. You reveled in your southern way, now you're boiling over. Now you're wild as electric wires, glass teeth and a windy
smile. Si 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 wao muwezi kutu.